I'm Paula Smith, Director of Multicultural Ministries. You're listening to a Mississippi Baptist Convention Board production.
Thank you for listening to the Mississippi Baptist Around the Table podcast. My name is Tanner Kay, Communications Director, alongside the John Martin, Strategy Officer. Chief Strategy Officer. Sorry, excuse me, sir.
Yeah, you make sure you keep the chief in there. Today we have a special guest who is actually, we're surprised he's still awake, right? He's jet lagging from a trip from Africa. And last week, Scott Hanbury serves as pastor at Hardy Street Baptist Church in Hattiesburg. He also serves as the vice president of the Mississippi Baptist Convention. We're going to get into a conversation about him, wide-ranging, a variety, and looking forward to that. But before we get there, we're going to just give you a few dates of some things that are coming up in Mississippi Baptist life.
That's right, February 24th. So if you listen to last week's podcast, you'll see the little fumble on this location. But yeah. February 24th, disaster relief training. Which when this launches, it's this week. It's at Neshoba Baptist Association, John.
That's right. Yeah, that is,
glad near, we decided
that is in
that.
The Union area.
That is. It's close.
Yeah. March the 5th, Knoxville Vision Journey. Of course, more information from Chad McCord in Missions Mobilization.
Yep. And then March the 8th, Kid Men Tool Bin. Angie's got that rolling for kids ministry at Camp Gareway.
And then another disaster relief training at First Baptist Church, Yazoo City, on March the 9th.
Yep, and then March 12th and through 14th, there's a Buffalo Vision Journey with Chad McCord, Missions Mobilization. You can find that and much more as we make our way to Easter at mbcb.org/events.
That's right. Great to have you with us today, Scott. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, brother. So let's start off just by telling us a little bit about your history, your past. When did you get to Hardy Street? What did you do before you came to Hardy Street? All that good stuff.
Sure. Well, I'll back up. I actually was born and raised here in Hattiesburg, involved in the Southern Baptist Church growing up, and never dreamed or desired to come back home. You know, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown. And so coming back to Hattiesburg after a long hiatus is kind of interesting. We moved to after college at the University of Southern Mississippi, went to New Orleans to seminary, and we planted a church in North Idaho and with the North American Mission Board. And previous to us coming here, immediately before coming to Hardy Street, we were in Olive Branch, Mississippi. We were at Longview Heights Baptist Church and to serve there doing discipleship and just an incredible time in ministry. Yeah. And 8 years ago, came back here to Hardy Street.
Right,
so it was pretty unique. We were gone for about 25 years. And so it's a unique difference to come back.
Yeah. So I was at Longview Point this past Sunday, which is a daughter of Longview Heights, right? And so a lot of good work there. Church planting kind of started at Longview Heights, and it just kind of has exploded since then.
Yeah, we call Longview Heights the mothership. And, you know, all of this tree of church plants spread from there.
Yeah, it's wild. That's good stuff. That's a conversation we need to have one day. We need to get Wade Humphreys on one day and just talk about injecting that DNA inside of your congregation. He seems to know how to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And when it comes to you there, you said 8 years in Hattiesburg, right? I can't believe it's been 8 years, brother. Time flies when you're having fun, right?
It really does.
So really does. I know a lot of people know about Hattiesburg and South Mississippi. There's a lot of unique things ministry-wise that you're able to be a part of there at Hardy Street. The location there is on actual Hardy Street, which is a main east-west thoroughfare there in Hattiesburg. I guess it's considered Midtown. And so I would like, while we have you here on the podcast, just to kind of what's ministry look like for you guys at Hardy Street? And I know there may be some unique connections even to the city folks. So can you explain some of that?
Yeah, so I'll tell you, part of the draw to come back was that Hattiesburg has moved westward. Like so many other places, you got suburbs that have sprawled, and Oak Grove and Summerall are just bustling and growing. And so a lot of the downtown to midtown area really kind of left a vacuum. And I went to Hattiesburg High 30-plus years ago, and so we're three blocks from that school, and a lot of the people that I went to school with are teachers and counselors there now. So I just had this real affinity to come back and be a part of the resurgence that's happening. Midtown and downtown is going through a revitalization, a lot of houses being flipped, that kind of thing. And it's interesting because this church is a revitalization. This is the original campus of Temple Baptist Church, and Temple planted a west campus. Other churches sold their buildings and moved, but Temple planted a west campus and operated both places for about 10 years. And about 10 years into that, the folks that were here constituted as an autonomous church, as Hardy Street, and really kind of struggled along with identity. You know, I like to say that we were the artists formerly known as Temple. And, you know, we struggled. And when I came, there was just this identity crisis. You know, people would say, well, where is Hardy Street Baptist Church? And we would say, well, it's right by the Hattiesburg Zoo. Well, I think, wasn't Temple there at one time? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we normally, you know, would just say, yeah, we used to be Temple. So I got here, and I'll try to make this part brief, but the very first week I went through the sanctuary and pulled the hymnals. And you would think, I'm not trying to start a worship war, but the hymnals were 25 years old and they still had Temple Baptist Church in Boston.
Yeah.
And I said, guys, it's not about branding or marketing, but it's about being who God's called us to be. And the more I sat and listened to the stories of the people, it was an older congregation, just a remnant of people in a huge facility. And they had no real direction, but I listened to them and they said, we feel like God left us here when everybody went out west. And I just changed that story. I tried to rewrite the script and said, no, God planted you here in the 50s for such a time as this. And now we're seeing God do incredible things. And we can't take credit for any of it. We were just literally in the right place at the right time, praying, asking God to move. And there were some circumstances that put us hand in hand with the zoo and the city and hand in hand with William Carey University. So I can tell you those stories as well. But
how do you deal with the Hardy Street traffic? That's what I'm concerned about.
You know, you just kind of make your way around it. And they're actually building a water park by the zoo.
Yeah, I saw that last time I was there. Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to build a children's museum. So we're becoming kind of a destination.
That's awesome.
And what they have not built is parking space. And what we have is parking space. Mm-hmm. So it's a really, really good partnership.
Yeah.
If you were to come and visit Hardy Street next Sunday or any Sunday, which I would invite you to do, we'll give you and your family zoo passes for your first time guest gift.
Awesome.
And those are provided by the city every single week. So that's kind of fun.
Wow. That is fantastic. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you may get some visitors just to go to the zoo. Who knows? They may catch Jesus when they're there, huh?
That's right.
And when I visited there last, Jeremy showed me the road construction. Is that done yet? And it used to be a city road, and now the city's allowed you to kind of cut that off and include that in your parking lot. Is that right?
Yeah, so the rest of that whole story is that on special occasions at the zoo, there'll be 1,000 cars in our parking lot and around our building. And we try to be good neighbors. There's 30 to 40 employees that park there every day and around. And so we just tried to work with them. Well, our church is separated from our parking lot by 16th Avenue, just a live street of traffic. And we've worked with them for a time, but they have now closed off the street one block behind us and right up till Hardy Street. And they are doing incredible work with an 8-foot walkway and some beautiful landscaping, and they're going to deed that street property over to the church. So it'll become first-time guest parking and senior parking. And it's just a great relationship. We really have been, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine, but it's been healthy and it's viewed well in the city. I mean, I think people really appreciate the fact that the church is involved in that way.
Yeah, I think that says a lot that, you know, just trying to be a good neighbor, you know, that speaks a lot to the community that you're in. It gives you lots of opportunities, I'm sure, to have conversations with people that you wouldn't otherwise. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times we want to block off our parking lot, so we want to, you know, barricade them off or whatever. But this perception that you guys are given that, hey, we love our city is pretty tremendous, especially because of where you are positioned in the city.
Absolutely. Yeah. We say in our mission statement, we're a family of faith in the heart of Hattiesburg. And we really believe that we're right in the hub of everything that's going on.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. Yeah. That's good stuff. So You mentioned briefly just the connections that you guys have to William Carey. I'm not as familiar with that, so I don't even know.
Well, let's go.
How that works.
So, I mean, you're right in the heart of Hattiesburg, yeah. And you're right next to William Carey, right? Geographical lesson here. And so your worship pastor has really strong ties to William Carey, Wes Dykes. So can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, in fact, it goes deeper than that. Okay. We've got a few staff members that are there. But Wes Dykes is the dean of the music school, the Winter School of Music at William Carey. And Wes came, this is amazing, he came in view of a call to work bivocationally with us in January of 2017. Well, the Sunday that he came was right after the Saturday morning that an EF3 tornado a half mile wide hit William Carey and just demolished the campus. And he came that weekend anyway in view of a call. We called him unanimously. And on Monday morning, he and I called Dr. Tommy King and said, Dr. King, you need space desperately. And what we have is space. I mean, we've got this huge facility. So they brought the music school to Hardy Street for a couple of trimesters. So we had 160, 170 students walking the hallways, playing instruments all over this building. It was like a walking soundtrack. It's kind of fun to walk from my office to get coffee and there's music in the background. Yeah, you know, it's really really kind of cool, right? And what came out of that, though, is Wes and his influence and love for students, we got an orchestra, and we got a whole bunch of students that joined our choir and started playing. So our collegiate ministry starts growing. Yeah. And our senior adult ladies would cook. They'd bake chocolate chip cookies. And a lot of the kids were like, we don't want to go back to campus. We like the Hardy Street campus.
Yeah.
But it's just been a sweet relationship. Brett Golson, though, has recently joined our staff, and he is doing discipleship and collegiate ministry, and he's the vice president for spiritual formation at Carey.
Yeah.
And so just we couldn't have scripted that. Obviously, we couldn't have planned for a tornado, but God used that difficult situation for good.
Yeah, that's great to see how it adds having college kids involved just adds a lot of energy, right? and they're there all the time, it seems like, and the influence there is great to see. And so, and good for you as a pastor. What support can you have there in worship? I mean, that's a unique setup for you. I mean, you hand it off to the music, and you know it's going to be good stuff every Sunday, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, Wes plays at such a high level, and the state has seen with the worship choir and what they're doing. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I have to brag a little bit. They're now the second largest music school in the state of Mississippi, counting even all of our state universities.
Yeah. Well, there's really good stuff going on at William Carey, really good stuff. And Golson is doing a great job with the biblical studies area there. I guess that's his area. I don't know, maybe. And but the biblical studies area is killing it as well. And so just some really positive things coming out of William Carey these days.
Yeah.
And I know you were out of town for this, but let's go ahead and transition to, so I'm pretty sure you were still in Africa, but when we had our evangelism conference, or maybe you were on the way out of town when that was happening back in the end of January.
Yeah, so I left Monday right after we watched the live stream. We couldn't go to Meridian because I was leaving for the airport on early Monday morning, but we listened to Shane preach and the worship choir, and so we got to experience it on live stream.
Yeah. And so William Carey was singing, and Shane preached an incredible message, and so there was a response time, and students came forward and responded. The Spirit moved in incredible ways, and we're still celebrating that. And the Baptist Record, just we had an article come out about that recently. But I want to hear your voice a little bit, and I know I'm putting you in an odd spot because you weren't technically there, but now that you're kind of picking up from some stories and planning ahead as you're back from Africa, I want to hear what you have to say about that as far as follow-up. And just, I think Wes told us 13 William Carey students were baptized last week.
And so, last Tuesday night.
Talk about that. Yeah, brother.
Just unbelievable. So 9 or 10 of these students had come to Hardy Street or had been coming, probably 6 or 7 of them very regularly. Okay. And, some of these kids they came to William Carey, professing to be Christians, but God really moved that night and spoke to their hearts. And so 13 of the William Carey students responded. And so Wes said, we want to just celebrate this together. And those students, as they were talking to them about you know, obedience and following up and starting in their first steps, they almost all said, hey, we would love for some of our faculty. So Jimmy Brown, who is a member of our church and, mm-hmm. and teaches percussion, and Brandon Harden, who leads yeah. with the worship choir, and Wes did the baptizing. Mm-hmm. And so they brought them together. And this was so cool. Their families were there. The whole worship choir was there. I got to see the video in the middle of the night in Africa. And the church there in Meridian, where the yeah. evangelism yeah. conference was, they brought a trailer up here and cooked hamburgers. And yeah. just, it was a party wow. last Tuesday night, a celebration of new life in Christ. Yeah. And just overwhelming. I mean, you just can't make that kind of thing up.
You know, I think you know? one of the coolest things about this is that these kids came to participate in an event in Meridian at a church in Meridian. None of them live in Meridian, right? They're just there to sing. The Lord does something in their lives, and yeah. And then we intentionally say, hey, how are we going to connect them into a local church? Because all these kids are in Hattiesburg, right? And so just the partnership between North Crest and you guys saying, hey, we got to take those next steps. That next step is yeah. baptism into a local church. And so Hardy Street yeah. seems to be the yeah. logical one since they're already attending there. And so that's beautiful to me to see that picture saying, hey, the next step is obedience and baptism and membership
that's
into
right.
a local church.
That's right. I do have to tell you this because we want to watch the ACP next year. So we have lots of students that join by Watch Care. You know, they're still connected to their home church. Well, we talked about the construction earlier. On Tuesday morning, the city broke through a water main. And so our church was preparing for baptism, but we had no water.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
we took those students to Carterville Baptist Church yeah, and yeah. did the baptism yeah. there. I insisted that they still had on Hardy Street Church because I'm going to count the baptisms, right?
That's right.
And so I don't know if we're going to double dip. I'll have
That's
to check on
Ben.
See if Ben Skipper counts 13 more baptisms.
And then, you know, that adds another awesome layer of cooperation, though. It really does. That's a neat little deal. So, and again, one of those things, like you said about the tornado, could have never scripted that, right? But it gives us a cool opportunity to connect to another church. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And one more just caveat, I can say this, obviously any story of life change from death to life is huge, but mm-hmm. there were some real stories of students who were struggling with issues of identity and mm-hmm. depression and, mm-hmm. and just all kinds of things that this generation seems to kind of be plagued with.
Yeah.
And God set some kids free. I mean, some of these mm-hmm. students have really shown radical transformation. And I think one of the most powerful things was some of those kids that had come out of church backgrounds that had professed to be Christians, now coming to Christ has mm. been such a witness to others who are either on the fence or playing yeah. religion.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know, back to Shane's message, and we can move on for this, but Shane's message was so simplistic, was it not? Just the simple gospel. I mean, Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And and it just goes to show you as well that the gospel works.
That's right.
So it's a pretty cool moment.
And this is a part of the conversation that I don't know how to transition from William Carey baptisms to your Africa trip, but I'm going to ask you a question about your Africa trip, just being honest here. Yeah. We're catching you on a Wednesday afternoon. I know you're busy, but I do want to hear about your Africa trip. Can you just expand upon that and what gospel's happening, the message is spreading there in Hattiesburg with William Carey students and doing great things. Now let's hear about what the gospel's doing over in Africa. That's my transition for you.
Yeah. Man, good job.
That there we amazing. Go. It was coming around somewhere.
That's right. Well, so our church, one of the things that we've done in terms of the revitalization is really place an emphasis on missions, whether it's across the street or around the world. And we're sending students, we're trying with an older congregation to scholarship people to go and make missions accessible and affordable. So this was a vision trip, and I went with some friends from several other Mississippi Baptist churches, Ridgeway Church in Starkville and Oakland Baptist up in Corinth. And Temple Baptist Church across town. And so there were 10 of us that traveled to Malawi to see a work that's going on. And it's basically a simple model of training pastors to plant churches. Last year, our church had a little surplus, and so we sowed some seed money, if you will, into a pastor training school in Salima, Malawi. And there are 25 pastors in that school. They'll train for 2 years, and their commitment is to plant a church. So for $10,000, we're literally planting 25 churches. And, you know, that doesn't happen in the States. You see guys raising a war chest of funds for one church. But anyway, we got to go and see the work. We visited 10 of those sites all over Kenya and Malawi. The organization we were with works closely with the Baptist conventions of 9 different African nations and with IMB personnel. And they feed about 16,000 widows and orphans every single week. So it was just mind-boggling to see. And one quick story that came out of it. The pastor of one of the churches, he's pastoring about 400 people, and he started a soccer team out of his church, young men, 20, most of them teenagers are in their 20s, and they have won significant matches, and they've moved up to the semi-pro level. Wow. And so one of the things that they're doing is challenging other villages. They go in, it's almost like the Harlem Globetrotters playing the Washington Generals, right? They've got uniforms and they're all dressed up, and the others in the village are wearing flip-flops. But they play, and the voice of Malawian soccer all over the nation, he does their World Cup stuff, is a Christian, and he has a radio show, and he mentions this team and this church almost every day. So they've got celebrity. Well, we showed up in a village and there were almost 6,000 people there waiting for us. Every single match at the halftime, someone gets to get up and share the gospel. And I had that privilege this year. So I got to preach to over 5,000 people, and there were scores of people that responded to the gospel. And immediately we were able to introduce them to a church planter in their village.
That's cool. Yeah. That's
so it was stuff. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. And grateful for that partnership. Say again the group organization that you're with.
Yeah, Church Missions Network. It started in Brentwood, Tennessee, but there's some Mississippi ties. Jay Parks is in Oxford, and he's the vice president. He does church development and relationships. Yeah. And just a great, real lean organization. Yeah. They're doing good work.
Good deal. Well, thanks for giving us some of your time. Tanner, I think, has one more question for you.
Do I have one more question for you?
Well, you wanted to talk about being first vice president of the Mississippi Baptist Convention.
We just went,
what are we doing on this podcast?
It's funny. When you get a guy like Scott Hanbury, there's so much going on, right? You just have to kind of just shift gears quickly. So
we should have brewed a pot of coffee. ADHD. And just...
I don't know if that's ADHD or if it's jet lag. But
what else do you do, Scott? Who mows your grass? How do you have time for anything? Let's talk about that. So you were voted in as vice president last year, and you and Bill and David Haynes, and so David Haynes is second vice president. I know it sounds like y'all talk a lot, so tell me about your role as vice president and just how that's going for you, I guess. enlighten us, Scott.
Well, I tell you, I had the privilege of preaching the convention sermon a few years ago, and that kind of re-engaged me in a lot of different people's lives. So I was elected as second vice president last year, which is a really great role, by the way. So David Haynes, that's a good thing. Second vice president's like being a four-string punter. You know, a lot of people are, the bus will have to crash before you get on the field. It's just, it's just in case you're there. You're that designated survivor, right? So, but Bill Hurt has just been such a blessing. And he said, this is a team approach. And we've spent a lot of time praying for pastors across the state, trying to encourage pastors across the state. And so in my role, I'll be a part of some of the nomination process for, next year. And so I take that very seriously, just to connect with guys and try to help maybe somebody that's serving faithfully in a quiet, tucked away place, and not that it's notoriety, but they can serve in a great capacity in the convention. So it's been an honor and a lot of fun.
That's good. Geographically, there's a good spread there. David's in the north, and you're in the south, and we've got Columbus cover with Bill. So it's a good spread across the state, I feel like. How about that? Yeah. You all know different people in your different circles, so that's maybe right. the that's spread good. Is good there. And I wouldn't be surprised, though, if he calls you guys into running races with him or get into his running game. He does a lot of running, apparently. So.
Yeah, this guy's not.
Yeah, 0.0 is on my truck. I do not run.
Mississippi Baptist Convention half marathon or marathon?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
It's coming, right? I don't know. Well, I appreciate your time. I know it is a Wednesday, and just to be more transparent, it is Valentine's Day. So how we caught you today, I do not know. But thank you so much, Scott. I really appreciate you, and thank you for your time.
Hey, Tanner, John, thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for all you do and communicating all that goes on across our state. God's really moving, and it's a special place to live and do ministry.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you.